Start your own business today. B-Balance Hormone Weight Loss Centers provides a unique opportunity to address a growing demand to help millions of women over the age of 35. The B-Balance franchise has a patent-pending solution to lose stubborn weight, help women manage their mood and sleep issues that are all caused by hormonal shifts. Visit BeBalanceFranchise.com or call 800-361-8060. That's 800-361-8060 to learn more and start your own business today.
Good morning. I'm Renee with InTouchMarketingConcepts.com, strengthening your business identity. This morning we have Dawn Cotillo, a natural hormone expert, author of The Hormone Shift, and owner of the first B-Balanced Hormonal Weight Loss Center that is soon franchising in our local area. Good morning, Dawn. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here, and spring is here, so it's exciting all around.
Oh, my goodness. If you could see Dawn's energy here, she's amazing. And we do have a really interesting topic for you today, hormones and your mood. So women, listen and turn your radios up. So, Dawn, can you explain how this hormones directly affect a woman's mood?
Yes, and I think, I don't know why that's such a like a surprise when we talk about, and we're going to talk a little bit today about depression, anxiety, and some of the deeper mood issues or mood swings. I don't know why that's such a surprise, because we know that there's such thing as postpartum depression. It's related to the hormones after the baby. We know there's such thing as PMS. Correct. We know that there's issues with women around menopause. So these are all times in a woman's life that are very hormonally shifting. So obviously it's going to affect their mood. And I'll tell you who we can ask, who would tell you right off, is the men in our lives. So we're doing this not only for the women, but also to benefit the men. Because if our women are in better moods, it's going to make the men's lives just as much better.
Oh boy, we may have more male listeners this
they
time
might
than
be right
women.
Down.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so what are some of the specific issues that this can cause for women?
Well, when your hormones get imbalanced, it actually affects what's called your neurochemicals. And I don't want to be too complicated today, but I always tell people to think about hormones are in your body and the neurochemicals are in your head. Now, obviously, there's some in both areas. But when the hormones in the body get imbalanced, it imbalances the hormones in the head, the neurochemicals in the head. So let's talk about what could this be? Well, a couple things it could be, real intense things could be anxiety, panic attacks, or more of a clinical depression. Someone would say, look, my husband's great. My kids are good. You know, we're financially okay. I like my job. I just don't have a zest for life. That's more of a clinical depression. But not so much always the anxiety and depression. It could just be mood swings. Some women say to me, one minute I'm in a good mood. The next minute I'm, you know, yelling at my child or, you know, snapping at the dog. So mood swings or irritability or things like that. And sometimes these things also drive us to eat just to calm us down. And then women, of course, complain about their weight. And that ties in with what we do. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that mood issues can cause. There's some of the ways that it manifests in women.
I think the last thing women want to hear is, oh, it's in your head. So hopefully.
It's not. So I'm here to validate that.
Thank goodness.
Sure.
Somebody can validate that. Okay. We appreciate that. So what's the typical medical approach to mood issues for women?
Well, usually, and like I said, doctors are great. We need them. But in our country, I feel like the medical community on this issue, and I work with thousands of women, it doesn't seem to be solving it satisfactorily. And even doctors will say, well, you know, we have different medications we give out. So basically, if you would go to a doctor, just like your medical doctor, or even maybe your OBGYN or, you know, various other types of doctors, and you would say, well, I'm having a little bit of issue with them. I'm not in the best mood. I'm a little depressed. Or, you know, for a younger girl, they might even just put them on the birth control pill, which does regulate the hormones a little bit, and not in always the best way, but it also regulates the hormones and helps with the mood. That's not the best approach, but they'll do that with younger girls. With women that are, I don't know, in their 30s or above, they'll tend to just put them on antidepressants. Now, the thing that's important to know about this, and this I feel pretty authoritative about because I know this is true, there is no pre-testing. There are no protocols for this that I know of. And I read a lot. I'm in the field. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we can say to you, are you a diabetic or not? Take your blood sugar. Oh, you're not. Or, oh, you are. And we better put you on a drug for that. They don't have that with this. So that's why we have to understand this is a very slippery slope when we just start doling out, you know, drugs like candy here. We need to figure out what the issues are. So I would never be against if someone said a drug helped them. I respect that. But what I'm hearing from a lot of women is they don't want to be on these drugs. And sometimes they say, well, the drug helped a little bit, but then it's causing other issues. So the typical approach is to try a different drug. And if one doesn't work, well, then next 2 months, we'll try you on something else. And it doesn't seem to be working satisfactorily. And it doesn't seem like the women are that happy with that approach.
Okay. Now, what if a woman is experiencing anxiety and depression? I mean, do they medicate for that? Is there other ways that you can treat them naturally?
Yes. Well, let me back up, because that's a really good question about anxiety and depression. Sometimes people don't understand the difference, but if you had a quarter, it seems like anxiety is one end outside of the quarter and depression is the other, even though they seem physiologically very, very different. So you can't get into a very, very depressed state until you've been through a lot of stress, and I'll call that anxiety. Okay. So let's say, I don't know, maybe you're a new mom or you just had a second child and it's been like a year, you haven't been sleeping pretty good and you're just trying to get used to this. Maybe you're working too. You have stress for a year. Maybe you have a little bit of anxiety. That can sometimes turn to like a mild like feeling of panic or a panic attack. Mm-hmm. After that happens for a long time, the body's like, I can't do this anymore. And then it turns into like a depression. It's almost the body trying to shut you down, keep you in bed so that you don't. It's actually something that the body's trying to do to protect you. So if it keeps you in bed, you can't go out there and face that anxiety again. Well, women, of course, can't stay in bed and don't. No. So that's a very good point you're bringing out, the difference between anxiety and depression. Now, what I've seen historically is if someone is in the anxiety stage and they're having like basically panic attacks and they are no fun, you feel like your heart's racing. You don't know why. It could be for no reason. Caffeine and sugar and extra stress can bring them on. When that happens, I will say the anti-anxiety medicines, and there's very specific ones that you just take as needed, maybe one here, one there, do seem to work. And I do understand how they work. The medical community understands. They increase something called GABA in the brain. They just relax you. The problem with these drugs is they're pretty simple. We know how they work, but they can be highly addictive. So I would never, you know, we would never want to judge anybody for being on them, but we just want to be careful with them. And we want to look at the root cause to some of this, which we'll get into in a minute. The depression part of it, when you get to the point where you're depressed, if it's for no reason, because obviously if your dog just died or your husband's really sick, sure, there's a reason to be depressed. But if it's more of a clinical depression and you're like, I don't really understand why I'm depressed. If it's more that, then the doctor's more likely to put you on what's called an SSRI drug or an SNRI. And there's various, there's so many different names, and we all know the different names. So I don't have to mention them. Those types of drugs, it's not really clear how they work. So it's kind of a hit or miss thing. I don't want to go into the depth of it. In my book, The Hormone Shift, I do go into it a little more in depth. I interview a couple of PhDs and things like that. But what I'll say is it's pretty much of a hit or miss. Some people say, well, it helped me, but now it's not helping me. Or it didn't help me at all. Or it made me worse. So they're definitely hit or miss. So when you get to the point of the depression, that's when I'm saying, let's start looking at the hormones.
I can agree. And so many women, they could say we have tons of stress and anxiety in their lives every day to day. So I think it is definitely determining where the stress and the anxiety and the depression intersect or when it goes too far, for sure.
And for most of us, sadly, it already is too far. And I think women, more than men, now we love men, but here's what they do. The men will actually be able to go to work all day, okay, come home and compartmentalize and say, I put that aside. I'm not going to sit here and drink a little beverage and watch TV. Of course, that stresses women out even more, doesn't it, right?
Absolutely.
But they are, it's kind of, I hate to say it, but it's a little bit of a healthier thing that they can stop and do that. Whereas women, if they work out of the home, then they come home, then they got to clean, then they see the dishes, then they see the husband sitting over there, and they are in a stress mode all day and all night. So that's where I think it's a very good point you're making. Let's pinpoint that. Attitude is huge. Spiritual connection, very huge. You know, why don't I just stop and say that now? If a woman can take 20 minutes a day, now I know that sounds like a lot, and sometimes people's prayer and devotion times are only 5 minutes, and that's good. But 20 minutes where they can go into like kind of a meditative prayer type mode. There's certain CDs that have relaxed brain waves. Just 20 minutes. It can actually negate most of the stress of the day. So it's very, very important. And obviously, if we all had perfect spiritual connections, which we don't, we wouldn't have near the stress.
I agree. I've been trying to compartmentalize, as you say, and just I'm starting with 10 minutes. But I think every
That's
person
great.
Needs to take 10 minutes and just unplug from all of our technology in the world and such. So we are here today with Dawn Cotillo with Be Balanced Hormonal Weight Loss Centers and also the author of The Hormone Shift. If you would like to get in touch with Dawn, she's at www.BeBalancedCenters.com. We will be right back with Dawn. Please stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
Start your own business today. Be Balanced Hormone Weight Loss Centers provides a unique opportunity to address a growing demand to help millions of women over the age of 35. The Be Balanced franchise has a patent-pending solution to lose stubborn weight, help women manage their mood and sleep issues that are all caused by hormonal shift. Visit BeBalancedFranchise.com or call 800-361-8060. That's 800-361-8060 to learn more and start your own business today.
Hello, welcome back to Balanced Life. We have Dawn Cotillo today from Be Balanced Hormonal Weight Loss Center. Boy, if you, these men and women really need to pay attention today. We are talking about hormones and your mood. And I'd like to delve a little deeper, Dawn, with what we were talking about in the first segment. What is happening with the hormones and the neurochemicals in our bodies that make us react in certain ways? And
yeah, we can keep this pretty simple, but this is how important stress is. When we're under stress, and most people are, stress could be, you know, with your family or your children or your husband. Stress could be with your job or a project you're working on. Lack of sleep and pain that you don't take care of. I didn't go to the chiropractor. You know, that type of thing causes stress in the body. Artificial lights cause EMF calls coming off computers. All of these things. So it's pretty rare for a woman not to have any of those things in her life will raise your stress hormones. One of them is cortisol. Okay, now cortisol and stress hormones were only supposed to be high when you're running away from a lion and bear, right? But who's doing that anymore? So back in the olden days, it would be once a week something would happen, your stress hormones would go up. Now we're under stress 24/7. We're in traffic. We got the kids. We got the job. So our stress hormones are elevated all the time. And I do not believe that God meant our bodies to be like that.
True.
It's usually more from being in a modern society like America. So in America, we deal with a lot of this. Mm-hmm. Our stress hormones go high and then the body can't keep up with this. It's like, this woman's crazy. I can't keep up with all these stress hormones production. So what it does is it takes a hormone called progesterone, which is not talked about very often. We always have. You heard of progesterone? I mean,
not really. Estrogen, I have.
Estrogen, but progesterone, no. So progesterone is this great hormone. It's a fat burner. It's a diuretic. It helps with your mood. It helps with your sleep. It helps prevent female cancers. Well, this hormone gets converted over to make cortisol, because if we don't have cortisol, we'll die. So the body's like, okay, we'll convert it over. And that's why when a woman's under stress, she'll miss her period or she can't get pregnant, because this progesterone hormone is important for a hormone balance. So what happens is women get low in progesterone when they're under stress. It's that simple. Now, what does that mean? When they're low in this hormone, that's for their weight, their mood, their sleep, they're preventing cancer, all these good things, they're dominant in estrogen. So it just means that there's more estrogen in relation to progesterone, so they're out of balance. And when you're out of balance, estrogen can cause overexcitability. So it can cause mood swings, irritability, panic, anxiety, the depression that goes with it. But it also causes actually weight gain, and it could cause headaches and cause hot flashes and all these other things. So what we're trying to do is balance estrogen and progesterone. Now, when this happens for a long time, it does start to imbalance the neurochemicals. Real simply, dopamine and serotonin. We won't go too much into them. But when the body gets imbalanced with the hormones, the neurochemicals get imbalanced as well.
I can see autoimmune diseases stemming from all this stress and imbalance.
Correct. When I see hormone tests and women are very – their cortisol goes high for a while and eventually it goes low. All the other hormones are usually messed up. That's when the autoimmune comes in. So that there's definitely a connection with that.
And you're at your centers. You can actually measure the – the hormone balance?
Well, what we do is, good question. We don't actually do testing anymore. We do everything by symptoms. So if you come in and you check off, I have anxiety, I have headaches, I have irritability, I've gained weight, I have no libido, I have hot flashes, then we use natural progesterone cream. And the natural progesterone cream goes in through the skin. Any excess is urinated out, 100% natural. We raise progesterone up and it balances with estrogen.
I hear painless. That sounds wonderful.
It feels, in a short time, and you don't have to do standard hormone replacement therapy.
Okay. I think it's wonderful to have a center that focuses around women and this challenge, because I think so many women, we feel that doctors think it is in our head.
Correct. Like and we have many women that have gone off anxiety and depression medicine when they balance their hormones. Now, we do some things with their lifestyle. So if it's okay, let's talk about some other things. We give them a stress cream that gives the body what it needs to make the cortisol, so it kind of helps balance the cortisol. Then we raise the progesterone. And guess what? Even if a woman's older, of course, older is relative now that I'm getting older, but let's just say she's, over 60 or something, and her estrogen levels will start to go down at that point too. She never has to take estrogen, because if you get the progesterone where it should be, God made the body have the ability to make estrogen in the fat and skin cells up until the woman's in her 80s. So that's why the standard HRT and the risk of estrogen, should we do it or shouldn't we, should be off the table. You don't need to do that when you balance your hormones naturally. So they're the supplements that we used. And then I think you'd like to hear maybe about some lifestyle changes too.
I would love to. Please tell me, what can I do?
Well, we just talked a minute ago about taking that time. 10 to 20 minutes would be better, but a day that you just recenter. You can lay down, listen to relaxing music, do some deep breathing. You can use it as your prayer time. It's always nice to have a scheduled prayer time. I used to just fall asleep when I'm praying at night. I thought, is God insulted that I just fell asleep when I'm praying? Yeah. So I thought, let this, I use this type of thing with women in our program. I say, we give them a little relaxation CD, I'm sorry, and tell them to listen to it. And they can sometimes do the prayer time, or they meditate on beautiful things. They meditate on, my daughter's at college, I'm really scared. What we'll do is we'll say, why don't you meditate on her getting good grades or her, and then pray and ask, the God to be with her. Mm-hmm. So it's a very positive thing. The other thing you can do is, a lot of women like to exercise. Exercise is great. We need to get out and dispel that stress. But too intensive exercise, things like running, anything linear on the Stairmaster, on the EFX, when the heart rate goes up, the body perceives it that you're running away from a lion or bear. So it makes your cortisol actually go up and cause women not to be able to lose weight and cause their mood to be worse.
Oh, good. That'll be my excuse.
Okay. Now, I'm going to stop here and say, so what we recommend is women do resistance training, do something with weights or bands. We want to build muscle, because as we age, we lose muscle. And you want to be functionally strong. Walk. That's great. Maybe do, some people enjoy yoga or a Tai Chi or something that's more of a stretching oriented, because you don't have to worry about your weight if you're balancing your hormones, you're eating correctly. You shouldn't have to run off the donut. First of all, you probably shouldn't really eat the donut, but do you see what I'm saying? So these other forms of exercise just keep you mobile, especially if you are a secretary or you work at a desk or something that you're not very mobile.
So will your centers put a program together for everyone with the exercise, the eating?
To fit the lifestyle, we go over that. Now, with the eating, one of the main things you could do is really decrease sugar. Because, and sugar would be, of course, we know it's candy, cake, things like that, but anything with anything floury. So if you can say, okay, I am going to go a week or two without any pasta, bread, bagels, muffins, crackers, anything that's in a box. So you can have fruits and vegetables, you can have meat, you can have some dairy, some yogurt, things like that, oils and butter, have fun with the butter, but not watch the sugar, because the sugar causes more imbalances in the hormones that we just talked. And we know after you have sugar, your blood sugar can go up and down. That makes you moody right there. True. So keeping your blood sugar balanced by watching the consumption of sugar is another key thing.
I tell you, after you have a candy bar or something like that, then you feel great for a half hour and then you drop and you plummet.
Afterwards. So maybe a chocolate protein bar. There's some real good protein bars. They have them in convenience stores. They might have a little bit of like a little caramel in it, but they'll have some nuts and they'll have protein in them. And it kind of feels like you're eating a candy bar, but it's protein. Or maybe getting a protein shake. I love milkshakes. So a protein shake's like a smoothie. If you make one at home, you can get just protein powder at, different grocery stores. I like to put a little bit of coconut oil in it. Then it tastes like a Mounds bar, number one. But coconut oil is a very slow burning oil and it's healthy for you. And you can cook with it. It keeps your blood sugar very balanced, so you have sustained energy instead of a rise and a fall in energy.
That's really interesting. I love coconuts.
So if you like that, the other thing we abuse, you know, a lot of women realize that alcohol isn't good, but alcohol will cause a rise and fall in blood sugar, especially at night before bed, and doesn't help you sleep. You fall asleep and then you wake up. But caffeine, most of us do caffeine in the morning. So putting some coconut oil and heavy cream in your coffee, if you don't want to go decaf, will keep your blood sugar steady instead of waking up with coffee and then not having anything for a couple hours, and then your blood sugar plummeting, and then you're craving, and then your mood gets irritable. So that's another tip in the morning to do.
Now, do you have information and tips on a Facebook page or on your website?
Well, on the website, thebebalancedcenters.com, I did just start a blog, dawncotillo.com, so I'm going to be blogging and putting things on there related to everything related to hormones and relationships, everything, hormones in your skin, hormones in your hair, hormones in your health. So that'll be on there. And I do have a Facebook page as well. But on our website, if you go, there's a click you can just click on a free hormone questionnaire to see if you have an imbalance. Like, how imbalanced are my hormones? You look symptoms and you send that in, and we'll give you a response and tell you, you know, what to do and how imbalanced you are.
Oh, that's really great. I love that. I had a friend who her timer went off on her telephone, and I said, what is that? And she actually schedules a time to pray. How about that? And like you were saying, I fall asleep when I'm praying and then I feel bad. But but then I thought, how sad is that, that we now have to schedule God into our into our day? But in a way, you know, I think it's what you're saying is women do have to take that time. And if you have to set
a time, then
a reminder or a time.
Well, you set a time to exercise. Right? Yeah. See, normally in the olden days, they were carrying wood, they were exercising, they were doing all this stuff. They didn't have to drive to a gym. Could you imagine if those people could see us now? They would think we're crazy. So the thing is, you don't have to. In our society, we do sit more, so we schedule time for exercise. In our society, women have more going on. We're not farmers anymore. So to schedule a time for prayer or meditation, I think that makes sense. But being in a prayer-like meditative state all day, catch yourself when you're getting stressed and say, take a deep breath. Maybe you have something that you say in your head that kind of relaxes you. I have some aromatherapy. I take a deep breath. I have it right on my desk. We have that in our center too. Just kind of helps you relax. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think the key is to be aware that it happens to you. Because if
awareness.
Awareness is key. Because if it keeps happening, you know, so I tell women, if they are on different psychotropic drugs for their mood, don't despair. We help women balance their hormones, and then they can slowly wean off with their doctor's help. You never just take somebody off medication, but they can slowly wean off, and doctors are pretty happy to help you do that, and they're the best ones to tell you how to do it.
We thank you so much for teaching us how to balance our hormones today and healthy eating and exercising. Dawn Cotillo, with Be Balanced Hormonal Weight Loss Center. How can we get in touch with you again, Dawn?
So just actually going to the website, Be Balanced Centers with an S, all one word, BeBalancedCenters.com. There's a lot of information on hormones. There's some great educational videos and that simple questionnaire to see how imbalanced you are and maybe some steps you can take on what to do.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm Renee with InTouchMarketingConcepts.com, and live a healthy life for a balanced life, because balanced life does matter.
Start your own business today. Be Balanced Hormone Weight Loss Centers provides a unique opportunity to address a growing demand to help millions of women over the age of 35. The Be Balanced franchise has a patent-pending solution to lose stubborn weight, help women manage their mood and sleep issues that are all caused by hormonal shifts. Visit BeBalancedFranchise.com or call 800-361-8060. That's 800-361-8060 to learn more and start your own business today.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Tune in from 7 to 8 a.m. every Friday morning to hear Gary Porter, Executive Director of the Constitutional Leadership Initiative, Phil Duffy, Constitutional Law Instructor at Widener University, Pastor David Whitney, Senior Instructor at the Institute on the Constitution, and their guests every Friday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. as they explore and help us understand the Constitution, not only as our foundational document, but also as it relates to our lives today, right here on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
Good morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts. Today here with Dawn Cotillo with the franchise of Be Balanced Centers. Good morning, Dawn. How are you?
Good, good. I'm excited to be back, of course.
Yes, we're so thankful to have you on the Balanced Life. And for our listeners who don't know Dawn Cotillo, she is a natural hormone therapy practitioner. And the exciting thing about her is she's an author of The Hormone Shift, and she has also appeared on CBS The Doctors. That's pretty cool, right? She's been on CBS, ABC, Fox, and the Tribune. So we're so thankful to have you on our show and to teach us about nutrition and caring for our bodies. And we just thank you for that, Dawn.
Yes, you only get one, so we got to take care of it as long as we can. Some people take care of their cars better than their bodies, so we got to change that.
Isn't that the truth? And my aunt always says, well, if I knew I'd lived this long, I would have taken better care of myself. So I think at my age, I'm starting to understand that, fortunately or unfortunately, we all have to have the realization sometime. But I know today you wanted to talk about sugar and your hormones. And obviously, there's some big effect of sugar on your hormones. So what does sugar do to you and your...
Well, it's funny we're just talking about aging and not knowing how long we're going to live. It's funny because sugar is one of the biggest things that actually ages us. I didn't have this in my script, but they even did studies, and this is just a side note, but we think of aging, a lot of times we think of what we see in the mirror, right, like our skin. You know, my skin's aging. They've done research that sugar actually acts, it's called something called glycation, that it actually does something to proteins in your skin that causes your skin to wrinkle faster and easier.
Oh,
so there you go.
Oh my goodness!
That should be the whole show, because that enough should make us not to.
So true. That should be the biggest deterrent there is. Oh my goodness!
Know,
all right,
I'm
cutting out sugar altogether. I'm rushing.
But when you want it, you know, that doesn't always do it. But I thought that was funny since you were saying about aging and stuff. Sugar is one of the biggest things that ages us. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about, and then maybe I'll kind of think, would you mind if I break it down what sugar is first, like as far as like, you know, we talk about the word carbohydrates.
Sure.
So if I said to you, what do you think carbohydrates is? What, you know, because everybody's own definition. What do you think fits into that class of food? Because that's kind of the class of food that sugar fits into.
I think carbohydrates is sugar. Is that correct or no?
It is, but it includes some good things. It includes fruits and vegetables. They're your best ones.
Okay.
So they're technically carbohydrates. Then it includes your grains, you know, your rices and your couscous and your oats, which are, you know, good too. There's still some sugar content, but they're fibrous. And then it includes the starches, which is what I think we think of, like the white bread and the flour items, like bagels and, you know, pasta and things like that, which we know, we all kind of roll our eyes, we know they're kind of fattening, and we know they're not good for you. And then it goes down to the simple sugars, like a candy bar or a piece of cake.
Okay.
So I just wanted to kind of say that, because sometimes we say, oh, the word carbs are bad, don't eat carbs, and that's short for carbohydrates. But really, what we don't mind the fruits and vegetables. We're going to kind of go from everything from the grains and below today, but really focusing on simple sugars that we don't want to have, like things made with flour, like the pastas and breads, as well as the candy and the cake and the cookies. Like so that's kind of where our focus will be. That's going to cause the most reaction with your hormones. Okay, so I kind of wanted to clarify that.
I'm glad you did, because that's definitely a misunderstanding, including on my part. So you're saying that the sugar in fruit, that's okay. That's a good type of sugar.
That's a good type of sugar. And we're going to touch back on that again. We'll compare fruit and vegetables. But the sugar in fruit, that has the fiber with it.
Okay.
So that's why when you just drink apple juice, it's not as good for you as far as your blood sugar. Remember, that's what we're talking about. So sugar and blood sugar and hormones. It's not as healthy for you. Whereas if you eat an apple kind of the way God made it off the tree, there is some sugar in the apple, but the fiber in it slows it down absorption. So it doesn't cause that spike in blood sugar and drop. Almost like when you drink a soda or you eat a candy bar. You know how there's kind of a bad reaction, like you have energy and then you're tired or you're irritable afterwards. That's what happens with simple sugars, but in fruit, there's also the fiber in there. And that's why it's much better to eat an apple than to drink apple juice or something like that.
So in the fruit and the fiber, that sustains your energy longer, whereas the simple sugars allows your sugar to spike and then drop. Is that correct?
Right. So it's not just sugar. It's how the sugar is absorbed and how it's worked in the body. And that's where the more the fiber is, like the vegetables and fruits, even potatoes and things like that, they have fiber in them. And the grains have some fiber. But the starchy things and the breads and the cakes and the candies and the simple sugars and even the sodas don't have that. And that's what man made. That's not what God made. And that's what causes the problems with the blood sugar and the hormones that we're going to get into today.
All right, Russ is hiding his Coca-Cola and his Twizzlers. Okay. So we won't, since you can't see that on radio, we won't mention that. Okay.
So don't tell anybody.
Okay. Don't tell anybody. So how, if you were to drink a soda or eat Twizzlers, how does that sugar imbalance your hormones? What's throwing Russ off here?
Well, a lot of times on the show, we talk about estrogen and progesterone, which is more of our sex hormones. And that's what women think of when they think about hormones. They think about PMS, menopausal issues, mood, weight, sleep issues. And we're all going to touch on that because we always tie into that. But the biggest hormone that we have that we forget the hormone is insulin. Okay? So you've heard of insulin before. That's
sure.
When people's insulin gets, I'll say, messed up or imbalanced. That's when they have diabetes or whatever. So we're going to talk just about what happens is whenever you eat anything with sugar in it, even fruit, I'll admit, it causes your blood sugar to go up, and then it causes the hormone insulin to come out into the bloodstream. The pancreas releases insulin. The role of insulin is to get sugar into the cell so that you have energy. Obviously, we need sugar for energy. We can get some energy from protein and fat, but sugar gives us quick energy, which is nice. If we ever happen to run away from a lion or something like that, that's what in the olden days, that's what they need the quick sugar for.
Uh-huh.
So insulin helps that. Now, what happens is people forget that sugar is a stimulant. So when we're constantly eating sugar and it's stimulating us and our insulin's constantly high, our stress hormone cortisol, which we've talked about in many shows, gets high as well. Because sugar is a form of stress. It's a stimulant. It's a type of stress, just like caffeine is or alcohol is. Candy and sugars are. They're not meant to be eaten very often. So when that happens, our stress hormones start rising. And then we talked about in the past, when our stress hormones rise, it causes the imbalance between estrogen and progesterone, which is our women's main hormones, and that causes weight issues, mood issues, sleep issues, bad PMS issues, bad menopausal issues. So I thought initially I wanted to tie in what sugar does to your stress hormones. It raises cortisol, and then what it does to your sex hormones, it imbalances them. So from a hormonal, from an endocrine perspective, sugar is not going to be your friend as far as what it's going to do to you long term. And women that are a little bit older, and you know, us women in our 40s and 50s and beyond, it's going to be worse. Now, if you're 20, you know, you can get away with some, you know, some sodas or whatever. It's not good for you, but you can get away from it. But when you get older, it actually, and the imbalances of the hormones are already a little bit more, it can exacerbate them. So that's why I kind of wanted to make that clear.
Yeah, sugar, I mean, why are we having it? Why are we eating all these processed foods? Why are we eating all this sugar? And especially it causes wrinkles, but I mean, it, and in all...
Now that you know that, I was like, check it out. Well, you know what's funny is, this is such an interesting example. One of the PhDs that I had done some research with, you know, told me this, and he's a researcher, so he's very smart. Basically said that sugar, I'm sorry, let me say this, fruit is basically just vegetables with sugar in it because the same nutrients that are in vegetables are in fruit. He said if you never wanted to eat fruit ever again, you wouldn't be missing anything in your diet if you just ate vegetables.
Interesting. Okay.
And I said, okay. Well, back in the hunter-gatherer times, when before the agricultural society, when we had a lot of wheat and corn, okay, back in the hunter-gatherer, when people were more eating, like, nuts and berries and seeds and meats and, you know, oils and things like that, back in those days, they didn't have the sugars that we have. They didn't have the starches. They didn't have the breads or the pancakes or the pastas. They just didn't have it. So they ate more meat, and then they ate vegetables. They would eat a little bit of fruit, and then they would have the grains. I mean, I'm sorry, they would have the nuts and things like that. But the only time they were able to get fruit was in the summertime. Think about it, most of the time.
True.
So the purpose of fruit, he explained to me, was for these people to eat lots of fruit in the summertime and actually become a little bit insulin resistant and start to gain some weight.
Oh, and be prepared for the winter, right?
Yes, That's exactly what, and that's what he said, that, you know, God initially made fruit for, was so that it's the only, out of the fruit groups, it's the only one with the sugar in it. You know, nuts and oils and meats and things don't have sugar. The protein and fat don't have sugar in, but carbohydrates or simple sugars like fruit do. So they would actually put on some weight, and then in the winter they would have that extra 10 or 15 pounds if they were ever starving a day because they couldn't get food because it was too cold out or something like that. They would actually be able to burn off that extra fat. So that's the main goal of sugar. Sugar is to put a little bit of fat on you so that if there's ever a famine, you would have that fat to eat. Well, do we have any famines in America today? No.
That could be debatable in some areas, but yeah.
In general, plenty of, yeah. So what happens is we end up eating sugar all year round, and not only do we eat food all year round, we have, you know, like I said, we have pancakes, we have, you know, bagels, we have muffins. So we're doing that all year round, and we don't ever give our sugar a chance to stabilize. Like, here's an example with a bear. A bear all summer will eat certain foods that will fatten him up. And then a bear goes to hibernation all winter and will eat off of its own fat. He'll live off its fat in hibernation. Now, he's just laying there. He's not living. He's just laying there. He's not being active like we are. And then in the spring, he comes out, and he's good again. You see what I'm saying? So it's, and then actually spring, he has a slightly different diet. But then later in the summer, into the fall, he'll start to eat food to fatten it up again. So it's interesting.
It is. It's amazing how God engineered our bodies to do exactly what they're supposed to do. And then humans tend to, yeah.
And so then we abuse it. So that's the thing. So I just wanted to kind of make that clear that we really shouldn't be eating tons of sugar. So now what does that mean? Does that mean we're not going to eat, you know, sugar in your mouth? No, but it means that since it was supposed to be that way, then basically September through, you know, April or May, we should really try to watch it a little bit more because our body wasn't meant to have that. And in the summertime, when there is more fruit and there's more parties and things like that, maybe you have a little bit more. But let's get a little bit into what happens when we already know that it causes an imbalance, or what happens when we eat too much sugar.
Right? Yeah, like because what? And that was going to be my next question, because you talk about sugar as a stimulant, and to me that sugar sounds like it can be addicting also.
It's very addictive. Some scientists say that they study the brain and sugar can be more addicting than like cocaine or different drugs. The problem is, which is very interesting, the problem is you can't get away from food. Like, you can say, okay, I'm going to be in drug rehab and I'm never going to drink alcohol again, or I'm never going to take drugs again. But you can't say I'm never going to eat again. So it's very interesting. It can be addicting. Now, since you brought that up, I'm going to give the listeners a little test to take, and you can even take it too. It's a real fun, it's a simple test you can take. You go home and you put a glass of water, it doesn't matter what kind of water, if it's well water, it doesn't matter, whatever, by your bed, and make it clear, like a glass you can see through. Put it by your bed at night, okay? You go to sleep. When you wake up, first thing in the morning, you see that glass of water, and you spit into the glass of water. That might sound a little gross, but you kind of gather some saliva.
Oh, no.
Okay, so this is what you do. Yeah. And you need to do that before you brush your teeth or use mouthwash or eat.
Okay.
Then you leave the water sitting for maybe 10, 15 minutes, and usually you'll see something by then. If the saliva floats on the top, you're fine. So floating is fine. If the saliva starts to break up and make little strings, a little bit gross, and sink down or the whole thing falls down, that means you have excess candida yeast in your system, which comes from having too much sugar. And if you do have excess candida yeast, it means you'll crave a lot more. Like you said, you'll be more addicted to sugar.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
So it's a cool test. We do that in our centers, in our B-Balance centers, to see if women, when they come in, that, you know, I'm overweight, they're telling these women, to see if they have a sugar addiction. And then all you need to do, if you do have this yeast overgrowth, you're supposed to have some yeast in your body, but you're also supposed to have a lot of friendly, good bacteria that's in the digestive system that overcomes the yeast, so keeps you balanced. So what we have people do is we just have them take a couple of probiotics a day for about a month or two and eat a little bit less sugar, and then their good bacteria gets back in balance with their yeast, and their yeast gets under control. They pass that little test. They'll take it the next month and pass it, and then they don't have as strong of a craving for sugar. So if that makes sense, so we don't want to have people that have extra reasons to crave sugar, and that's an extra candida is one reason.
I think that's great that Be Balanced Centers has simple tests that you can perform. They're not painful. They're not hard to do. So I think that's really great that you have focused on women and have these measurement tools that you can do and easily.
It's kind of neat. So, I mean, that's the one thing, because if you have excess candida, you could crave more. There are certain medications that will make people crave a little bit more, and you can talk to your doctor about that if you're on them, that they'll cause you to crave more. But, you know, stress makes you crave more sugar, so we can talk about that in a little bit. But I think the biggest thing that makes you crave sugar, and I think you'll fairly agree with this, is when you have sugar. So if you wake up one day and you have, like, a big omelet for breakfast, Saturday, and then you're running around all day, working around the house, going to the store, you're not even thinking about food, and you're feeling good. You have that good omelet, it's got some fat, got some protein. Another day you wake up and you say, let's go to a place and have pancakes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to feel after that? How are you going to feel that afternoon?
Not well. You're going to feel sluggish and tired.
And you crave more sugar, because what happens is you do feel tired. You'll feel an energy initially. Blood sugar will go up, then it'll drop, and then you'll start to crave. And in about an hour or two, you'll be saying, hey, give me some M&M's. Whereas the day that you ate the egg, you weren't even thinking about candy. You were just going about your day.
That's true.
The other thing to remember is starting your day with sugar will make you the whole day. Then you have the M&M's. Then all of a sudden you want the donut in the afternoon. The rest of the day is messed up.
Wow.
So I do tell people this. Start off your day with maybe a protein shake, and we talked about the phone call, doing a protein shake, maybe putting a tablespoon of coconut oil in it, because that burns real slow, so the protein and the fat will stabilize your blood sugar. Start with eggs in the morning, or maybe have some nuts, or if you're going to have a cereal, have a whole grain cereal, put some nuts on it. Starting the morning without sugar will help your day and help you not crave sugar, as well as getting rid of excess sugar with the candida test, you know, by balancing the candida. Those are two things that can help with your actual physical cravings, which I think was a great point.
Yeah, that's really great. Starting off your day, that's very important.
Yeah, because if you start off on the wrong foot, the other thing people do, we talked about caffeine, is they'll start off with just coffee, and sometimes they put a lot of sugar in it. What I'll tell them to do, and this sounds funny, is if you're going to have coffee, you can put some coconut oil in your coffee or put heavy cream in your coffee, because those are the things that the fat in those things will help stabilize the blood sugar to help balance the caffeine, because caffeine will do the same thing. Blood sugar up, blood sugar down, and it'll cause you to crave sugar probably mid-morning. So that's why a donut goes so good with coffee, because people, if they have the coffee, they're like, their blood sugar drops and they want a donut later.
You're
starting your day with the worst thing. So, but here's what happens. Like, let's go back to the original question you had said about what are some symptoms or what happens if you have too much sugar.
Yeah.
I think you'll agree. You, a lot of times, will get irritable. Like, you'll feel this energy surge, but then your energy will go down. You don't even know why, but you start snipping and you get, like, irritable. Some people will get kind of moody, which irritable and moody are kind of similar. Or you'll kind of have mood swings. Or if you're maybe a little bit older into the range of the 40s and 50s, you can start to have hot flashes or a night sweat, because the blood sugar goes up and goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, then you start to feel fatigued. So then you start to crave more sugar. Then you start to feel bloated. So all of these symptoms are just like, man, I don't really feel good. Then, you know, if you're doing too much sugar all the time, you'll have worsening PMS or menopausal symptoms, which is pretty much some of the symptoms I mentioned, as well as some other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So not good for eating too much sugar. We just will not feel good.
And some people think that's feeling that way is the norm, and that's kind of scary too, you know. So it's good you're building awareness that we can change this and help ourselves.
Because I think when we even at our Be Balanced Centers, when we get women to feel better without sugar, like do a challenge of 7 days without sugar. It doesn't have to be, you know, fruit. Just say, I'm not going to have any bread, pasta, crackers, anything with flour, made with flour or in a box for like 1 week. I can eat as much meat as I want, have as much vegetables as I want, you know, have a couple pieces of fruit a day, have as much butter as I want, but I'm not going to have any of that. Almost like a paleo diet. Mm. And I bet you'll notice something. Because here's the other thing. Long term, if you have too much sugar, remember we said sugar causes insulin to be hanging out in your bloodstream, because insulin's released every time you have sugar. So if you eat sugar all day long, oh, I'm drinking a little bit of soda, I'm eating a little bit of Swedish fish, I'm, you know, munching on Twizzlers, I'm doing whatever. If you do that all day, insulin is constantly hanging out in your bloodstream. And when insulin constantly hangs out in the bloodstream, the body becomes something called insulin resistant, and it's a pre-diabetic condition. Eventually, when you're insulin resistant, you can turn diabetic, you know, in the next couple of years,
yeah,
or some people sooner.
Okay.
So we don't want that. So think of it, it's almost like insulin is knocking on the doors of your cells and saying, hey, I have some sugar for you. Can you open up and let the sugar in so you have energy? And the cells will say, yeah, come on in. But if insulin's constantly knocking on the doors, the cells almost don't hear it anymore, and therefore you become insulin resistant. It takes more and more insulin to get the sugar in the cell. So it's almost like, I use the example in my book that if you had a pesky neighbor, first of all, if you moved to a new neighborhood and you had a neighbor come over and say, oh, you know, welcome, here's some cookies or something like that, you're like, oh, thanks, you know. And he stops over once in a while and comes in and brings you gifts. You're like, oh, that's nice, this neighbor's nice. But then if the neighbor is over your house all the time, constantly hanging outside your door, you'd be like, you know what, this guy's crazy, I'm not going to let him in. And that's kind of a fun little dumbed down example of what happens when you become insulin resistant. And then we get on the road to diabetes. We can have circulatory problems. You know, when people are diabetic, they're tiny arteries and veins, they get blocked off, so you can't, it affects your eyes, it affects the feet and the hands. So, I mean, it's not fun when you see someone with advanced diabetes. So that's what we want to stay away from, and that's where sugar can lead us.
Yeah, I didn't know what caused diabetes, but diabetes is not reversible or curable, is it? I know it's treatable, but...
Well, you know what? That's kind of funny that you say that. Actually, and I believe it was quoted from the director of the Diabetic Association, that you can really affect diabetes with diet. So if you, you know, now type 1 is you're born with that. But type 2, a lot, I've seen many clients go off of their diabetes medicine, like they have medicine that's pre-diabetic or it's in a pill form. It's not insulin, let me say that.
Okay.
If they're on those, they'll actually, when they do our diet, they lower their sugar and do that, what I just said, to take that 7-day challenge. They can literally lower their pill form of insulin type of medication. And if they're on insulin, they can lower it dramatically. And some of them can even go off. Now,
wow, that's wonderful.
It's amazing. Now, you always do it with your doctor and you always check yourself. You don't just randomly go off medicine.
Right.
But, yeah, so diabetes is one of the most treatable ones. I mean, as opposed to, like, cancer or, they don't say stroke or something like that, you know, heart disease.
Okay.
But it's one of the most treatable ones, and you can really handle it a lot yourself. And you can use the medications until you don't need them or until you need minute amount of them. So definitely, that's a really good point, that we can actually prevent it, and then we can even treat it with making food. Food should be our medicine.
Yeah, when does it come to the realization that, you know, food and exercise is our best medicine? You know, sometimes we all need a kick in the pants to actually realize we could be helping ourselves a lot easier with diet.
Yes, we call it. And I remember in one of our previous phone conversations, we were talking about relaxation, and I was saying how important it is, because when you do something called relaxation therapy, and I'll explain that in a minute, you actually lower and balance your blood sugar, because it's not just you eating sugar that messes up your blood sugar. It's by you thinking bad thoughts, like being under stress, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're under stress, your body thinks that you need to run away from a lion or a bear, whereas really it's just your boss yelling at you, you're stuck in traffic. So when you're under stress in your head and you're getting upset, your body releases blood sugar, because it releases sugar in your bloodstream that's stored in your muscle cells or your liver, because it thinks you need to run away, so it's giving you energy, and then insulin comes out anyway. So you could become insulin resistant just from an extremely high-stress job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where relaxation therapy is great to prevent diabetes. It's great for diabetics. It's great for people that have cravings, any type of sugar problem. Relaxation, it only has to be 20 minutes a day, and you get into a deep, you do some deep breathing, and you can use it as a prayer time. You can use it as a focus time to focus on something. There's something people can Google. It's called sound wave, the word sound and wave therapy. Sound wave therapy, you put headphones on in 20 minutes, you feel like you had a two-hour nap. The sound waves go into the ear and they relax the brain waves.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a vacation for your brain. It feels like a two-hour nap in 20 minutes.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I love it.
That sounds great.
I try to do it every day. Yeah, so that stabilizes blood sugar, and it makes your cravings go down for sugar as well. When you come out of it, you feel wonderful.
That is wonderful. Now, Dawn, we're down to 2 minutes. So what are the final tips you can give us to balance our blood sugar, and how can women find out more about this whole hormone imbalance and sugar?
Yes. Well, quickly, they can go to Be Balanced Centers with an S, BeBalancedCenters.com website. We have a quick test to tell if you have a hormone imbalance. And most people do because they're eating too much sugar. So a quick thing that we do in our center is we give women a little bit of natural progesterone. So they can Google natural progesterone cream. I talk about it in my book, The Hormone Shift. There's information on our website. And progesterone actually stabilizes blood sugar. It also helps stabilize mood. So you have less cravings and you don't want all this sugar. And if you do eat it, it also helps your body handle it better. That's number one. Number two, we talked about not starting your day with sugar. So starting your day with a protein shake, maybe some coconut oil in there, or if you're going to have coffee, put some heavy cream in it. And then throughout the day, every couple of hours, if you eat three meals a day, great, but have two snacks in between and do snacks of nuts or nut butters, or even incorporating into your meals fattier meats like salmon. Any type of fat or protein or fiber is going to stabilize blood sugar. So we don't want to go long hours without eating, and we don't want to, you know, have too much sugar in our daily diet.
These are all great tips. We always enjoy having Dawn Cotillo from BeBalancedCenters.com. Dawn, thank you so much for being here today. We really appreciate it. And just knowing that diet, exercise, less stress, less sugar helps us be more balanced, and balanced matters. I am Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts. Thank you.
Jesus, be the center.
If you're looking for a healthy treat today, why not head down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt? It's located in the King of Prussia Mall, the Plaza section opposite L.L. Bean. They have shakes and smoothies and hot fudge sundaes and, yes, even mint chocolate chunk frozen yogurt. And if you tell them you're a listener of WFYL, receive a 10% discount. So today, why not? Head on down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt located in the King of Prussia Mall.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Tune in to WFYL every Saturday at noon to hear host Diane Kuczynski from Pampered Paws Pet Care PA and Jacques Schiller from Soap and Bean Pet Care discuss pet-related topics, stories, and issues related to pets. Listen in on interviews with local pet businesses and companies from the Philadelphia area.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Oh. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Florence Chadwick was the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. Now she would swim from Catalina Island to the California coast. The year was 1952. The day was dense with fog. The cold water was numbing. Florence could hardly see. She could hear rifles shooting at sharks nearby. After more than 15 hours, it all became too much. Her trainer urged her on, but with no land in sight, her will was gone. Florence quit swimming. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. That day, Florence Chadwick gave up 1/2 mile from her goal. When you're ready to quit, keep on swimming. The fog will lift and you'll see how close you are in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, host of In the Market, coming to you on Moody Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed to do. We take a look at those headlines. We take a look at that news, but we do it in a markedly different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule, Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM, WFYL, working for your liberty.